Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Bengt, originally from Sweden, part of Word of Life over there, has been now in the UK for many years, but works all across Europe, really helping to pioneer planting new churches all across Europe and raising up leaders, and is a real pioneer breakthrough person, real dynamic and spirit of faith. And, you know, when you're with Bengt, you just sit there listening to some of the stories and the things that God gets him up to. And you're like, man, this guy is nuts. He's out there. This is brilliant. And you just feel like, yeah, we can change the world, you know, when you have a conversation with him. So I want you to give a massive welcome to Bengt Wildermann as he comes to bring the word this morning.
Hallelujah. Honolulu. It's great to be here this morning. That was marvelous testimonies you had here. I really love to hear what Jesus is doing. How many loves Jesus here? How many is like really loving him? I got very good news for you. He loves you too. And he guarantees loves you more than you love him. And we are very blessed for that, aren't we? God is a good God, and it's a privilege to serve him year 2010, isn't it? I have a word for you this morning, a word that I love, and I really pray that God will encourage you, not discourage you, but encourage you. And I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 17. And I will just read one verse, actually. It's a very good verse. Verse 20. And it says like this. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Encouraging, isn't it? For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. I kind of like that. Can you please close your eyes? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you. Thank you that we can be here together this morning. And I thank you for your presence that are here. Thank you for all my friends that are here. Thank you for what you are doing in this great church, this ministry. Now, thank you for your plans and your purposes. Thank you that you have ordained us to bear much fruit, fruit that will remain. I thank you that you have called us and ordained us to do the impossible. Thank you that you have called us to cast mountains into the sea, to change this world. And I just pray, God, that you give me the ability now to be able to share your word in a way so that people here can receive it and understand it. And in a way so that it will bear fruit. In a way so that Jesus will be glorified here. Because this is what it's all about. I ask you for that, Lord. And bless my friends here in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The word I read to you was an answer. And before an answer is always a question, isn't it? So to be able to really understand this answer, you need to understand the question. So I'm going to tell you the question. And to be able to understand the questions, you need to understand the context where the answer and the question is given. So I'm going to take you on a little small journey here. Now, this is taking place just by the foot of a mountain in Israel. It's called Mount Tabor. You also call it the Mount of Transfiguration. It's not a very big mountain. I mean, it's not like Mont Blanc or something like that. More like the British mountains, probably. But it's a mountain. I mean, and when you stand there, it's kind of big. It's massive. If you stand by the foot and you look up, what you see is the mountain. You don't see anything else if you look towards the mountain, I mean. And Jesus is saying this to his disciples. And just a short time before, Jesus had been up on that mountain together with three of his disciples. And the name of those disciples are Peter, James, and John. And all of you are familiar with those guys, I'm sure. And Jesus invited them to come up to that mountain because he's going to have a very special meeting there. And there were some VIP guests who were supposed to come directly from heaven down on that meeting. And one of them was Elijah, the other one was Moses. And then, of course, it was Jesus, and then it was Peter, John, and James. And when they came up on that mountain, Jesus told the disciples, "Now try to stay awake." And then Moses and Elijah come down. I mean, it's a powerful meeting. Talk about anointed meeting. And the glory of God comes as well. And the voice of God is being spoken. And the disciples fell asleep. And that must be a bit embarrassing. What can we learn from that? Never fall asleep in a meeting. I mean, we need to learn something from the Word, don't we? So it's very good. Don't fall asleep in a meeting. You never know who will show up, do you? Anyway, they fell asleep. And Peter, wonderful brother Peter, he woke up. And he made this classical statement, fantastic statement, when he woke up. Hair standing straight, eyes like, you know, just like you looked this morning before you fixed your hair and washed your face. Looked pretty wild. Probably he was red-haired as well. And how do you know? I don't know. It's just my imagination. And he was looking. And he saw Jesus and he saw Moses and Elias and he saw the glory of God. And he made this proclamation because the Bible says he didn't really know what he said. He said, "Wow, this is a good place to be. I got a great idea. Let's build some bungalows up here on the mountain. One for Moses, one for Elias, and one for Jesus. And we can celebrate here the rest of our life. Wouldn't that be great, Jesus?" And you can read, because this is described in different places in the New Testament. It says in one place that while Peter was talking, the glory left. Together, the glory and Moses and Elias left as well. What can we learn from that? Sometimes it's good to be quiet. And just listen. And Jesus said, "Now we ain't going to stay here. We are going down." So the disciples still a little bit confused, because they still didn't really understand why they were following this Jesus around. Have you noticed? I mean, it took all the way into the book of Acts until they really understood why they followed Jesus. They still had this idea that Jesus was the earthly Messiah and he will build the kingdom in Israel. And they're going to be co-worker together with him, ruling the new kingdom. And they didn't really understand, but they came down from the mountain. And at the foot of the mountain, there were 9 more disciples waiting. They were not chosen to be among this special meeting. But they, while they were waiting, they were doing some kind of ministry. And the situation was this. There was a father that came with a demon-possessed son. And the father, he had probably heard about Jesus casting out devils, healing the sick, and doing all those great things. So the father was clever. Many people are clever, like you and me. He was clever. He understood if Jesus has followers, if he has disciples, of course the disciples can do the same thing as he can. And it's true still today, isn't it? I mean, it's still true today. So he thought, "I bring them to those 9 disciples. I know Jesus is up in the mountain, but I bring my son to those disciples." And he took his demon-possessed son to the disciples. And he said, can you heal him? Can you set him free? I don't know, because the Bible doesn't describe it. But we know that for sure they tried. And I'm sure they tried hard. We don't really know what methods they used. But we know one thing, it absolutely didn't work. Very frustrating. Of course, you've never been involved in anything that doesn't work, have you? No. In Sweden, we have a few times. But they did their best. Nothing happened. The father was frustrated. The son was frustrated. The disciples were really frustrated. And the spectators were kind of shaking their head. And they said, what kind of guy is this? It doesn't work. They speak a lot of words, but it doesn't work. Embarrassing. And then Jesus come down with his three disciples. And the father sees Jesus. And he runs towards Jesus, kneel at his feet, and he said, Jesus, can you heal my son? And he described his problem. I took him to your disciples, but they are, we don't know if he says it, but they are worthless. You can't do it. They tried hard. Can you do it? And Jesus says in another place, he says, can I do it? Anyone that believes can do it. I like that. And then he has spoke to the son, and he spoke to the demon. He said to the demon, come out. And the demon went out. And the son was free. Wonderful. Great. The father was so happy, excited. The son was happy. The spectators were happy. The disciples, probably not that happy. They were frustrated. Have you ever seen a frustrated disciple? Of course not. Not in England. I've been here for 7 years. I've never seen a frustrated Christian as long as I've been here. Everybody is like fully content with everything, aren't they? Happy, happy. Don't look at me like that. Anyway, Jesus is standing there, and I believe Jesus had a smile on his face. Why do you think he has a smile on his face? Because it says in the Bible, he was the most happy person in this world. Because he was anointed by the oil of gladness. And when you're anointed up with the oil of gladness, you're happy. So I believe he was standing with a smile on his face. He was glorious, happy, because the son there had been set free. And the disciples, they were frustrated. So they asked Jesus this question. And I want you to know one thing. I notice you take a lot of notes here, so you can write this down. I want you to know one thing. If you're going to ask somebody a question, the best one to ask is Jesus. It's not Gordon Brown, Dave Cameron, or name it, whatever. Nothing wrong with that, I think. But when you ask Jesus a question, he has a very good habit. And he had that for 2,000 years. He answers the question. Isn't that wonderful? He answers. Jesus is the answer. So Jesus looks at those frustrated disciples. And he says, well, because they asked the question, why didn't it work for us? I have a question. And Jesus said, well, it's because of your unbelief. Or you can translate it. I checked it. You can translate because your lack of faith, because you don't have faith, because you're full of doubt, because of this and this. But everything is something with the disciples that matters. The problem is there. The problem is not in the Son. The problem is not in Jesus. The problem is not in God. The problem was there. So that kind of answers more or less every question we have, doesn't it? So that's my sermon. It's a good one, isn't it? Well, actually, Jesus doesn't finish there. And this is so great. Jesus never leaves you hanging in the air like that. Isn't that good? How many love Jesus? Jesus gives the answer. And he's revealing, he's teaching. a fantastic truth here, and many times we miss it. And I'm going to try to do my best in a few minutes to unveil this truth for you. Because Jesus said like this, if you have faith, even as a mustard seed, you shall be able to speak to this mountain, and standing in front of this huge mountain, Tabor, you shall be able to speak to this mountain, move from there to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible for you. So now it's not only talking about setting a son free, now he's talking about moving mountains. So he's talking about something that actually includes every area in our lives. He's talking about something real big, massive, challenges, impossible stuff. Have you ever been in that situation? If you ask me, I have. If you ask me, I am. More or less all the time. Wonderful. So why is Jesus saying like this? So, you know, when you read the words of Jesus, it's one thing you must know. You know, the words that Jesus is saying, he's not just taking them by coincidence. It's like when Jesus stands in front of his mountain, the mountain was important. The location was important. Everything Jesus does is very important. You understand? Jesus couldn't have been standing in front of the Sea of Galilee there. That wouldn't work. He would have spoken to, well, he could have said you can move the Sea of Galilee into the desert or something like that, but that wouldn't be really the same effect, would it? Maybe it would, I don't know. But anyway, there was a reason why he was in that location. And there was a reason why he used this parable, the parable of the mustard seed. And you know, in Matthew chapter 13, he's talking about the mustard seed as well. And he says, the kingdom of God is, or the kingdom of heaven is, as a mustard seed. And the kingdom of heaven is within you, meaning the mustard seed as the kingdom of heaven is within you. Amen. And now he's using the same parable. He says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, why is he talking so much about the mustard seed? I want to give you a revelation. A good revelation. It will bless you. I Googled. Have you ever been Googling? You know, if you write mustard seed on Google and you search, you will be amazed. You'll find a lot of web pages about mustard seed. So I've done a long research because I wanted to find out why is Jesus not saying coconut? Why is he not saying watermelon? Why is he not saying banana or something else? Why on earth is he saying mustard seed? So there must be something special with this mustard seed. There must be some characteristic with that mustard seed that actually carry revelation. And you and I, we can learn something about faith if we study the mustard seed. First of all, I want to say this. I want to ask a question. How many believers we have here? Like, I mean, come on. How many believers? Well, one significant thing about a believer is that he and she has faith. Is that clear? So I don't want you to sit now and think, I don't have faith. No, it's not true. So when Jesus said, because you don't have faith, he's not saying that you don't have faith. Is that okay, Pastor? The Bible says that everyone that is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. We know that. And the Bible says that all of us that have received Jesus, we have also received a measure of faith. Is that okay? The Bible calls us a believer because we have faith. So the faith was given to you in the new birth. The faith is a gift from God. So the faith is yours. So we are not talking about you not having faith. We are talking about you having faith. Is that okay? And then, of course, the first reaction most of the time comes and we say, well, my faith is too small. Now, this is very good. Because when I studied the mustard seed, the first very deep revelation I had about it, I mean, that's really deep. You need to write now. Check it up yourself. The mustard seed is very, very small. Come on, smile. You just had a great revelation. If you understand this, it's the beginning of moving your mountains. The mustard seed is very, very small. You know, when I look at you here, you're a great bunch of people. All of you look very nice, beautiful, fantastic. All of you look Swedish. English, sorry. But I cannot say by looking at you whether you have faith or not. Really, I cannot. It doesn't say on your forehead, I have faith. Maybe you have written faith on the bumper sticker of your car, but your car is not here right now. So I don't know whether you have faith or not. How can I know? You look like more or less all the rest in this world. Nice looking people. But I don't know whether you have faith or not. The faith we know is in our heart. And the faith is small. Sometimes I wish, to be honest, I thought it would be easier if Jesus would have said, if you have faith like a watermelon, it would be easier. Because it would be pretty obvious who has faith. Since the faith is in our spirit, would all of us walking around like a pregnant woman, it would say, yeah, they got faith. It's clear. But Jesus didn't make it so easy. But still it's there. I said it's there. You confess you're a believer, so that means faith is there. Yeah. And you know, have you ever been at the airport? Yeah, of course. So these last 2 days I've been to 5 airports, I think. Yes, 5 airports. I'm spending too much time on airports. And I'm tired of airports. Very tired, especially Heathrow. Frankfurt, all those big airports, because for some peculiar reason, they pick me out on a regular basis and they want to do this special search. I'm not talking about the search with rubber gloves and all that stuff, but I'm talking about the search where they ask those special questions. I don't know why. So they take me into a room and they interrogate me a little bit. And they say, the same question I already answered. I don't have any weapon. I don't have any sharp item. I don't have any explosive. I'm not a terrorist. I don't have a bomb. I'm a preacher, not a terrorist preacher. I am a preacher that preach love, peace and understanding. And this is me. But sometimes I'm tempted. Really tempted. I'm really tempted. Sometimes I'm tempted. When they ask is, do you have anything explosive? And you know, it would be so easy and so right to say. So absolutely accurate. Perfectly right to say like this, yes, I have. It's extremely explosive. But you can put me in your X-ray machine and take me in and out for hours. You will not find a trace of it. Because it's so small. It's so small, it's invisible. Not until I release it. But once I release it, I can move this airport into the channel. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that. If you don't want to spend the rest of your life in Gautama, wherever, don't do it. But there's a truth there. Because actually, what you have on the inside is explosive. I said it's explosive. And you know why I'm telling you this? It's because you need to hear it. I want to say this to you. Don't say you don't have faith. That's a lie. I'm tired of people coming to me saying, please, brother, lay your hands on me so I can receive faith. I said, no, I can rub your head until you lose your hair. And I've done that with some of you here, I see. But you will not have more faith because of that. I cannot rub faith into your heads. Faith is given to you from heaven. It's a gift from God. And your faith can grow strong. And the only way for that to grow strong is to use it. So the first point I find about faith, mustard seed, is that it's small. The second thing I found about mustard seed, oh, I like this. Now, I didn't Google a lot of Christian sites because sometimes they eat, you know, they prepare it too well. So it's like not so exciting. So I found out a mustard seed can actually grow. Listen to this. Can grow in every climate zone of the world. I mean, come on. A little bigger smile, please. It can grow in every climate zone of the world. Now, why did Jesus use the parable of the mustard seed when he was talking about your faith? Oh, I tell you one thing. I've been preaching. I'm still a young member. I've been preaching the gospel for 30 years this year. That's a long time. I started when I was 12 or 8 or something. No, I was older. But you know, until this day, I have not been to any place, and I've been to many really crazy places, like Horsham and a lot of other places. I was in Casablanca yesterday. You know, in North Africa, it's a very tough situation there, but God is doing stuff. And, you know, I've been in a lot of places. And until this day, I haven't been to any place, any situation where the faith doesn't work. I mean, to be honest with you, I've seen how the faith works everywhere. Is that really true? Yes, it is. I said, yes, it is. It doesn't matter how hard climate is. It doesn't matter if it's cold, if it's really icy cold, if it's on a high altitude, if it's on a low altitude, if it's boiling hot, it's raining all the time. Doesn't matter where you are. Where you bring your faith, and faith follows you wherever you go, that faith will break through. I said that faith will work. And why is it important for you to understand that? It's because when Jesus is talking about faith, he's talking about faith. At the same time, he's talking about making the impossible possible. So he's not talking about just a nice environment. He's talking about making a difference. He's talking about casting mountains into the sea. I met this brother in Madrid this weekend as well. He's a young man, well, he's younger than me anyway. And he's a pioneer. I love pioneers. Those guys who just break. They don't stop. I learned to know this guy when I was living in Germany. He's Spanish. And he came to know the Lord there and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I learned to know him pretty well. And then one day he came to me and he says, "Brother, you know, I'm spiritually dying here in Germany. I have other things in my heart. What should I do?" This some years ago. I said, "Well, go back to Spain." And he said, "But Spain is harder than Germany." I said, "Go back. You're going to explode when you come to Spain. God's going to use you there." And he took that. And he moved down to Madrid. And I met him now, a few years later. I was weeping. I didn't weep when I met him, because we are like tough guys. We don't weep. But I was weeping a little bit after. You know, it's like, come on. This guy is literally, he's just breaking through in Spain. He's out. He's been out for 2 years preaching the gospel on television. When he's walking out on the streets of Madrid, people recognize him as Pastor Jean. And he has planted churches in different places all over Spain. And he's like totally full of fire of the Holy Spirit with a great vision for his nation. And you know, I was so excited when I saw him. You know what that tells me? Your faith. I said, your faith works everywhere. I could tell you a lot of stories. You could tell me a lot of stories. I don't have that time now. So the third thing, when I Googled mustard seed, I tell you, this is a good point. This will help you. You know what I read? The mustard seed is disease resistant. Disease resistant and hardy. Not that sensitive. Now, what does that mean practically? Why did Jesus use the parable of the mustard seed? Well, who created the mustard seed? He knows all the attributes of the mustard seed. He knows how it works. He knows how good that mustard seed is. You know, that soil can be sick, you know. I'm not a farmer, I'm sorry, but I studied this and I checked with quite a few farmers in different countries. And when a soil has a sickness, if you plant ordinary seed, the sickness will kill the seed. So it will not bring forth crops, no harvest. But listen here. If you plant a mustard seed in a sick soil, the sickness in the soil will not destroy the mustard seed. But the mustard seed will break through and overtake the sickness in the soil. Oh, I got goosebumps now. That confirms something to me. Something that I know. Many years. And I've been praying for sick people, I don't know how many times. I mean, every week we pray for loads of people. Many times we see many healings. Sometimes it's hard to get people through to healing, so you need to pray more and more and more. But until this day, first of all, I have never been affected by sickness because I prayed for somebody that was sick. I don't say that I never got sick, then I would lie. And I don't lie, I've been sick a lot. But I've never been affected by sickness when I lay hands on a sick person. I prayed for lepers. I didn't get leprosy. I prayed for people who had high fever. I didn't get fever. I prayed for people with HIV. I didn't get HIV. I prayed for a lot of people. And you know what that tells me? I mean, you maybe don't think that's cool, but I think that's really cool. Now, that's the first step, isn't it? It would be terrible every time you lay hands on a sick that you would risk to be infected by that sickness. No, you don't are. You are not, I mean. You don't are. That's not grammar. You are not. Because something inside of you that the Bible describes as faith carry a disease-killing anointing, whatever you call it. It's just something in it. Disease cannot quench it. I said disease cannot quench it. I tell you one healing testimony. I like this one. It's a good one. It's true also. A guy called me some months ago. And his name is Dennis. Well, a brother to him called me. His pastor. And Dennis has been a minister all of his life. He's in Sweden. And they called me and they said, you know, Dennis is dying. He's only in the 60s, but he's dying. He has lung cancer, and the doctor cannot do anything. The whole lung is full of cancer, and he will die. And he said to me, can you come and pray for me? And I like to pray for people. We've seen miracles. We've seen cancer-sick people healed. And I believe for that. So I said, well, come Monday morning. I was away somewhere. This was up in Sweden. And I asked in the morning, I asked the Holy Spirit to give me a word. And the Holy Spirit gave me a word. He said, go into his house, curse the cancer, and then go up, take off. It was a strange word. This is how he said. So we came into his house, and I know him since before. He was like quite a massive guy before. Now he was just skin and bone. And he couldn't even hold his teacup up. He was so weak. He was literally just dying. And the guy looks at me, and he points to his body, and he says like this, hey, bang, the devil's trying to kill me. And he looked at me and said, but he cannot. I cannot like that. And I said, well, I have a word for you, I said. He was sitting with his shirt on. The Lord said to me to curse that cancer. And he has looked at me like, and he opened up his shirt. I never seen anyone do that. And he has pointed to his lungs and said, come on, do it. Curse. And I cursed it. And then he said to me like this. I never forget. Well, it's not so long time ago, so I should remember, but I will never forget this. He said to me like this. I see something, he said. I see myself coming into the doctor's office. And the doctor x-rays my lungs. And he calls me in there, and he says, I have two types of pictures. I have one picture from the first picture we took where your lungs are full of cancer. And now I have a new picture. And this picture is new lungs. I cannot explain. I never seen it before. I cannot explain what happened. And then he said, I'm sitting in that office. And I'm speaking to that doctor. And I'm saying like this. I can explain. 2,000 years ago, a man called Jesus of Nazareth died for me on the cross. And he took my sickness, he took my cancer. 2,000 years ago, it was nailed on the cross. And today, because of my faith and because of other people that prayed for me that had faith, the manifestation of that promise, the manifestation of what will happen back then, has happened now with my lungs. And then he said that even though he was just dying in cancer, I went out, I had goosebumps, and I said to my friend, you know, that guy has faith. 1 week later, he calls me. He said, I just been to the doctor's office. The doctor x-rayed my lungs. And he calls me in there. And he says, I have two pictures. I cannot explain. This picture looks like you have new lungs. It's not a trace of cancer. Now Dennis is saying, I can explain. 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth, he died on the cross. He took my sickness, took my cancer on that cross. And he defeated it. Today, 2,000 years later, I'm living in the effect of it. I seen a picture. He has it on his mobile. I met him a few days ago. It's a beautiful picture. I cannot like that. I think that's a good story. And you know what? Your faith. You see, this is so good. This is so good. I want you to get this. Because sometimes, even we faith people, I'm a faith person. I eat by faith, sleep by faith, go by faith, everything faith. Faith, faith, faith. I love faith. You're the safe. You're kingdom faith. You're even more. You're turbo faith. But sometimes we faith people, we make a misunderstanding about faith. We think, well, there's a faith preacher coming. And he's standing up on a platform like me now. And I'm talking about all the fantastic thing I've seen with my faith. Mm. My faith is big. Bam, bam, bam. Like this. And then I kind of give you a picture. You know, yeah, if you're really good, if you give very much in offering, and if you do this and this, and do this and this and this, and maybe a few years later, you will be like me. Did Jesus do like that? No. You know what he did? He said to the disciples, while they were in unbelief, while they were in total confusion, while they didn't know really what was going on at all, he said to them, if you have faith, even as a mustard seed, you will not only be able to cast out devils, you will be able to throw mountains into the sea. There is no limit to what you can do if you have faith in God. And now we know that we have faith in God. And the problem many times is that we are focusing too much on what we are not having. I spoke to a man of God in Casablanca yesterday, and he said something I will never forget. I heard it before, but it was so good to hear from him, because he has the secret police after him every day. And he said, you know what I'm telling my churches? I'm telling them like this. There's a lot of things that are impossible here in this country, but let's not talk about what is impossible. Let us focus on what we can do. And then he had a big smile on his face, and he took off on his brand new Harley Davidson. I kind of like that. Somebody gave him a brand new Harley Davidson, an American, just a few months ago. Just gave it to him. I like that. Maybe you don't like it, but I like it. The last point. Now, this is the best one. This point. And this point comes from an article I read in a newspaper, local newspaper from Arizona. And it's absolutely not a Christian article. You can know by the language, therefore I cannot quote it, because then I would stand cussing here in the church. I don't do that, because every second word is a cuss word. It's a farmer who's writing this article. And the reason he's writing it is because he's so upset about the mustard seed. He's like cursing the mustard seed. I kind of like that. I must read that. I must find out why is he upset with it. And then he told a story. The story is this. The year before, last year, he had been planting the seed. His farm had big fields. He's been planting the seed as he always been doing. He bought the crop or the seed at the same shop, whatever you call it, seed shop. And they always gave him the best quality. And he had always good harvest. Until this year. And then he said, by mistake, trying to look like he wrote, by mistake, somebody had been mixing the ordinary seed with 1% of mustard seeds. I didn't know when I planted it up because it was invisible. But when it was time for harvest, I came out of my field, and the only thing I could see was mustard. And he says 1% of that mustard seed took over the whole field. And when I read that, I have a small office in my house, and I stood and I danced. It looks ridiculous. I danced in front of my computer like this because I kind of like it, because I always believed so. You know, when you have faith, you're in majority. So we're talking about 1%. 1% is taking over the whole field. Isn't that good? How many are we here? We are more than 1%. It doesn't work, doesn't it? But anyway. Well, a lot of people. 1% take over the whole field. And then he wrote this, and I liked it. Because he used this expression. The mustard seed is a very troublesome. A troublesome seed. That spoke to me. And it kind of, you know, when it resonated in my spirit, if you talk very spiritually. Because I always felt that there is a little troublesome thing going on in my life. Have you ever had that? No, of course not. But what does that mean? It means that your faith has this desire, has this ability, this capacity to take over. To take over. To take over. I never forget, I was in Denmark last year, and I was invited to do a speech about Islam. I like to do that. I love Muslims a lot. We see a lot of Muslims come to know Jesus. I don't like Islam. Denmark was very sensitive. It's very sensitive because the cartoonist who made a picture of Muhammad with a bomb on his head. And so if you talk about things of Islam as Christian in Denmark, it's pretty tough. But it's very interesting. So they have those meetings. I've been doing those meetings in many places. And they invite radical Muslims, they invite a lot of different types of people to come there. And I only do 1 hour speech, not a revival meeting. But you see a lot of reactions, great reactions, especially from the radical Muslims. And there was a gang of really hardcore Muslim people there. And while I was speaking, after 30 minutes, one of them, long beard, the whole kit, stood up. And he didn't look happy. He was like, rah! He was roaming and roaring against me and said that I was an infidel and all those nice things. And he was attacking what I said. And some Christians got very nervous. And I had a microphone, so I was in good position. So I shouted back, really, I did. With a smile on my face. And he shouted back. So we continued for 10, 15 minutes. Like, bam, bam, ding, ding. You ever been in a thing like this? It's nice. Sometimes much more fun than having ordinary meetings where everybody's sitting trying to stay awake, you know. At least there's some action going on. And this guy was like going for me. And then some Christians even attacked me and said, you must be more peaceful, otherwise you will never receive Jesus. They said to me in front of him, I said, shut up, you don't understand this. And we continued for a while. And then when the meeting was over, this guy, the worst one, well, what I thought, he came running forward. And now people are looking, does he have a knife or a bomb or something like that? No. And he comes towards me and he gives me a big hug, kiss me on my cheek. And he says to me, I love you. Great, I said. I love you too. He said, I love you. You are the first person I've seen here that dared to stand up and speak what he believes. You know, there was something into it. Can I be a part of your church? He said. I said, yeah, sure. And then in the same city, this was on the first night, on a Saturday night, I was scheduled to do a revival meeting in a church. And he said, you know what? I know you are going to have this revival meeting. I will be there. I bring all my friends. And on that Saturday night, I tell you, the hall was packed. I was full of Muslims. And the guy with a beard who's been shouting was sitting in the front, in the back. And we had a fantastic revival evening. You know, why I'm telling that? Because you see, there's something troublesome inside of you. It's something like, You're looking for a little different thing. You're not like just walking in a traditional religious type of things that you thought you should do. But something that wants to burst out once in a while. Quite regular, actually. Because you are not called to live the ordinary life. You're called to live the extraordinary life. I said you're called to live the extraordinary life. Okay, so that was the last point I found out. I find more points, but I'll give you another time. This was the last, and I like this point, because it says that 1% took over the whole field. Never forget that. And never forget that actually when Jesus is talking, when he's looking at you today, even if you don't feel like it, even if you don't think it's so, when he's looking at you, because you're a believer, what he looks and what he finds in you is faith. And he wants you to focus on that faith. He wants you to focus on what you have. Don't focus on what you don't have. Don't dare to come and say, please pray for me so I get more faith. The only thing you will do, you will lose some more hair. We will not do that because you have already received something. Now you are stepping into a fantastic week this week. And I tell you one thing. The only way that people will be able to see your faith is that you plant that seed. And actually, you are free to plant that seed of faith wherever you go. And I've given you a good list now. I said to you, that seed of faith works everywhere. There is no place where it does not work. Now, you ain't going to Morocco or Algeria or Afghanistan or something like that this week. You're going to stay around here in Horsham. And it works here. I said it works here. You're going to be in different people. You're going to meet a lot of different people. But I want to tell you this. That seed you have, it works. It works in every environment. It's a disease-resistant seed, meaning when you lay your hands on the sick, you plant that seed by faith. And whenever you plant that seed by faith, something is happening. And it's a troublesome seed. Stand up on your feet. Let's close your eyes just for a moment. First, I just want to ask this question. I do it everywhere. If you are here in this meeting and you never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it means you are not a believer. It means you are not born again. You've heard what I said. You maybe been here before. You have been exposed to the gospel. Now, the Bible says that your day of salvation is now, today. It's not tomorrow, today. So we would love just to pray for you, just to help you to come into the kingdom of God. Because God loves you so much that he died for you through Jesus Christ. And he rose from the dead, so he's alive today. So if you are in that situation, I just like you, while everybody's just closing their eyes. Just close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. Just close your eyes. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want to experience the love of God, or to have your sins forgiven, just lift your hand. Lift your hand. Lift your hand so I can see it. Wave it like this. If you want to receive Jesus, just run forward to me here. Yes, come, come, come. Run where you are. Come. Just come here. Yes. Hi. What's your name?
Jade.
Jade. Good to see you, Jade. Somebody else is coming. Somebody more. Yes, come. Stand here. Stand here. We pray together. Yeah. Somebody else. Somebody else lift their hand. Just come. You look Swedish. Somebody else? Somebody more coming? Jesus loves you guys. A lot. He has a great plan for your lives.
Great plan.
You know what it says in the Bible? It says, everything become new. Now that means when you receive Jesus, you don't receive him in your head only. You receive him in your heart. And the new things that happen is in your heart. So you receive him in your heart. It means now, I'm going to help you to pray. But I don't want you to make one of those head prayers. You know, like, I want you to pray from your heart, you know, like you mean it. You know, when you tell somebody you love that person, first time you were in love, and you said to that girl, you said to that boy, or whatever, that you love that person, you know, then you said something from your heart. Not religion, you know, makes us just do things from head. And we are not religious. We are heart people. So I want you now to pray this prayer. I want you to close your eyes. Let's close your eyes. And I want you to think about Jesus. Now, Jesus died for you. He took all your sins on himself. Paid a price for your life. And he rose from the dead, and he's alive right now. Where you stand right now, he's standing in front of you. I'm not Jesus, but Jesus is standing here. You cannot see him, but he's here with his presence. Now, when you say to him, come into my heart, you know, then he will respond, because he is like that. He loves you. So just pray right now after me with the same words. You can pray. Still closed eyes. Just pray. Pray like this. Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you died for me on the cross.
I took all my sins.
You're alive today.
Jesus, I'm a sinner.
I need forgiveness.
I open my heart.
I ask you, Jesus,
to come into my heart.
I receive you.
As my Lord.
As my Savior.
I love you, Jesus.
I want to follow you.
The rest of my life.
Thank you.
Just lift your hands, if you may.
Father, I just pray for my friends here. I just pray, Holy Spirit, right now, you come upon them with your power, with your presence. And I pray in the name of Jesus that from this time on, they will be aware of that they are not alone. You are with them always till the end of days. In the name of Jesus, I pray your blessings over them, Lord. Your blessings in the name of Jesus. The blessings of the Holy Spirit of your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Just keep standing. Just keep standing. Close your eyes again. I just want to do one more thing. One more. Very short. Takes 20 seconds. Close your eyes. Right now, imagine you're standing in front of that mountain. That mountain represents different things for you. I don't know what it represents. Can be finances, can be your marriage, can be your family, can be sickness, can be whatever. Challenges in your life. That's a mountain. A mountain is a challenge. You're standing just by the foot of the mountain. And you look up, the only thing you're seeing is the mountain. Jesus didn't tell the disciples, don't look at the mountain. Pretend it's not there. He didn't say so. He said, look at the mountain. You know, we are not like playing games, you know, mind games. If you have pain, you don't have pain. You know, this is Christian Scientology, whatever that is called. But this is, you know, Christianity is something different. In Christianity, you dare to face the challenge. Now, you're standing looking at that mountain. And what you have heard today is that you have the solution. You have the faith. AI is not big, but it's powerful. Right now, just... Where you stand? Don't stand and fall asleep now. Just listen to what I say. God wants to give you a breakthrough right now. I want you to take what you have right now. Just say to Jesus like this, thank you for faith. Thank you for faith. And then you just address the issue. You just speak. I don't want to hear what your problem is. You just speak where you stand right now. I speak to this. In the name of Jesus Christ. Be thou removed, cast into the sea, move from there to there. And I thank you, Jesus, that you have said that nothing will be impossible. And I thank you, Father. Just lift your hands right now. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the spirit of faith of this church. I thank you for the gift of faith. I thank you for the word of faith. And I thank you for all the faith-filled people here. And I thank you for a release of that faith this week. That that faith will touch this community. There will be signs and wonders. There will be people coming into the kingdom of God. We claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.